I think I've spoken when I've been here before from this book of 1 Peter. I do think it's a tremendous book. Well, every book in the Bible is, isn't it? And it does seem to me to be so relevant to the days in which we live. But then I suppose every part of God's word is relevant to the days in which we live. And Peter, as he writes, encourages these people who he writes to as to how to live as a Christian. And there's so much that we could look at in the book. In the first chapter, he speaks about how we should live in hope. And we do live in hope if we're trusting Christ. Living in hope because Jesus has given us that new birth. And he challenges the people who he writes to live in holiness because Jesus calls us to live a holy life. And in that first chapter, he goes on to speak about living in harmony with one another and unity with one another, because he says that's what those who trust in Jesus do. And he goes on in chapter 2 to tell us how to live in this world, living like a lighthouse, standing firm on that rock which is Christ, shining out into the darkness of the world around, living such good lives amongst the pagans, doing good works. Quite a bit about doing good works in this book. And then he goes on in this chapter, and I want us to think about one word tonight, and it's a word which occurs a number of times in this reading that we read together. And this word seems to be the key to this section of this book, and this one word is submit. He's already spoken about submitting to Christ, about living as obedient children, obedient to God, and obeying the truth. And he goes on to talk about submitting to others, and he speaks about three areas of life which will be relevant to us in different ways. Firstly, as a citizen. Secondly, as a servant. And thirdly, as a spouse, a partner in a marriage. Firstly, as a citizen within the society in which we live. And we are all citizens of this society. And Peter writes to them to encourage them to live as good citizens. And that's what God wants us to do. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. Submit as a citizen within society. Secondly, as a worker in a place of employment. And for some of us that might not be quite so relevant if we've not reached a place of employment or we're retired. But he speaks about a worker in a place of employment, and to use the word slaves. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. And then thirdly, as a partner in a marriage relationship, and there it is in chapter 3, wives, first of all, in verse 1, but then husbands too, in verse 7. He has something to say to both. Submit. It's a word that we don't like, isn't it? And it's something that we don't like to do. And it starts young. Why should I? And maybe even as you hear that word, that it just brings that response in your heart. Why should I? It starts as young children. It continues into our teenage years. It carries on as a student. And it doesn't get any easier as we get older. And maybe we just get a bit more subtle at hiding it and resisting it and not doing it. But Peter's message to these people who he writes to, Christians living in difficult days, his message is simply this: submit. Think about where he could have gone. He's already earlier in the chapter spoken to them about being, verse 9, you are a chosen people, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. And he could have gone on to say, you're not part of that system around you. But he doesn't do that. Verse 11, he says, you're aliens or strangers and pilgrims in a foreign land. And he could have gone on and said, you're strangers and pilgrims and you've got diplomatic immunity. But he doesn't. He doesn't go there. He speaks of the authorities who punish wrong and commend the right. And he doesn't say, well, stand back, assess it, see what you think of it, and if you like what they say to it, submit to them. He doesn't do that. He doesn't say that. Verse 16, he tells them to live as free men. But he doesn't say, don't be shackled to society and do what you want. In each occasion he says, submit. Submit. And I want us to look briefly at these three areas, just briefly at the three areas, and then draw out some lessons for each of us on submission. So firstly, verse 14. Verses 13 to 17. Submit as a citizen living in society. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. And he simply says, submit. There's no discrimination between the good and the bad. Submit to the kings, verse 13, and submit to his governors, verse 14, those who are in charge and those who are appointed to rule over us. Now think a moment about the context in which Peter was writing this. It was there in the Roman Empire, and the context is an unfair, unjust, immoral, persecuting authority. That was Rome, wasn't it? That was the Roman Empire. Peter is not naive about what the nature of human authority is like. Peter had experienced it. Yet Peter says, submit. And that description of Rome, unfair, unjust, immoral and persecuting authority, it may sound familiar to the days in which we live. But Peter says, submit. And I think it's interesting to see that actually Paul says the same thing. I want to just have a look in Romans 13. Let me read this verse to you. He basically says the same thing to them. Paul writing to the church in Rome. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. And that includes the harsh ones. As a citizen in society. Secondly, as an employee or worker in the workplace. Verses 18 to 20. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. And he uses that word slaves, but in the context of the New Testament here, it could be a household worker, a teacher, a clerk, a doctor, an accountant. So it's really, mustn't misunderstand this word as we see it. It's really employees. And he's got the same message to them, submit. He uses the same word. And there's no discrimination. Submit to the good and submit to the bad. Submit to the considerate. Submit to the harsh. And that's not easy, is it? I know what my tendency is like. You know, if someone is a good boss, then yes, I'm willing to submit to them. But if someone is harsh and not consider it, I want to react to it and not do it. That's what I'm like. But Peter says in his word here, and God says to us, submit to the good and to the bad. And then thirdly, as a spouse or partner in the marriage relationship. And this is about wives, but also about husbands. It's about how to live with a non-Christian marriage partner. It's also about how to live with a Christian marriage partner as well. And what Peter is saying is the Christian wife is to submit to the non-Christian husband. And he spells out what that means. Demonstrating godliness. Verse 2, he speaks of purity and reverence of life. Verse 3, he speaks of the unfading beauty of a general and quiet spirit. But also, the Christian husband is to submit to a non-Christian wife. You see, look at what he says in verse 7, and it's very easy to overlook this, isn't it? Husbands, likewise, in the same way. And yes, with an understanding manner. But he's saying, likewise, submit. Verse 7, he says, treat them with respect. Treat them as heirs with you, as the gracious gift of life. Submission. Three different areas. And I want us to go on and draw six lessons for us tonight on submission, which come to some extent from here, but from elsewhere a little bit elsewhere as well. And I want us to think about and ask ourselves, are we those who submit? Are we those who submit? The first lesson is this, and it's here in the passage. The first lesson is that we do it for the Lord. We do it for the Lord. Verse 13. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake. We submit to please Him, not to please others. And we submit because we choose to please Him, not because we have to please others. And we don't submit just because we think it's a good idea. Such as, for instance, if I drive down my road and I turn left and I go into past where the church is and then past the school, there's a speed limit there. And when I drive past the school, and especially when the cars are there and the children go in, I submit to the speed limit. I think it's a good idea that there is a speed limit. And it's a good idea, and I willingly submit to it because I think it's sensible. But it's not just because we think it's a good idea that we should submit. And speeding, it's not just when we think that we might get caught that we should submit. If there's a speed camera there. It's amazing how that speed camera sort of pricks our conscience, doesn't it? We do it for the Lord. We do it whether we think it good or not so good. In other words, we submit to the speed limit even when we know we're not going to get caught. We do it for the Lord. Notice what it says in verse 19 when it's speaking about the slaves submitting. It is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. It's being aware of God and being aware that we're under His rule and we're submitting to Him. So firstly, we do it for the Lord. Let's remember that in our lives. Secondly, submission doesn't always mean obedience. Submission doesn't always mean obedience. Sometimes I think we think it does. And even if we look it up in a dictionary, we might think that it does. But what if we're asked to do something wrong? What if your boss asks you to lie, as has happened to me in the workplace? What if we're told we're not allowed to preach the gospel, to share this good news of Jesus? Submission doesn't always mean obedience. And the reason here is because we submit to God. We submit to that higher authority. We submit to God and his word. Do you remember Peter and the others? They were preaching the gospel there in the book of Acts, the early days of the church. They were preaching the gospel and they were told by the authorities to stop preaching this message. And what does Peter say? He says, we must obey God. God is told to do it. He's our higher authority. We must obey him. What about Daniel there in the Old Testament when he's told to bow down to a false god? I will not do it, he says, because he submits to a higher authority. But notice as well that there's a willingness to face the consequences there. And submission is not just what we do, it's about the way we do it as well. We can be disobedient because we're not willing to do it, but we can be submissive in our attitude. You see what I mean? There's an attitude associated with it as well. And the reason we might not do something and might not obey something is because it's wrong. Not because we're awkward and obstinate and just want to make a point. Not because it's unfair, but because we didn't want to do it, we don't want to do it. Submission doesn't always mean obedience. And then thirdly, we should be those who submit because authorities are appointed by God. And this is an important principle here, isn't it? As it says in those verses in Romans 13, or that verse in Romans chapter 13, verse 1. There is no authority except that which God has established. God is the one who appoints authorities. Here in verse 14, kings, or the governors who are sent by him. We trust that God knows what he's doing. And that's not always easy, is it? And that's not always easy when we think about lands where Christians are locked up because they are Christians, or where the Bible is a banned book. We had some friends from church around, or a number of people from church around for lunch today, and one of them was a man from Romania, and we were talking about Romania and the times there. And I remember visiting Romania a number of years ago when Ceausescu was still there. It was still a communist regime. And to meet a man who was locked up because he was giving out Christian leaflets. But remember, it is God is the one who appoints authorities. He is the one who raises up leaders and puts down leaders. And we trust that God knows what he is doing. And even in the days in which we live now, where the laws seem to be going against those of us who are Christians, we trust that God is the one who appoints leaders over us. And we're those who ultimately are ones who obey God. But notice here that submission isn't just to authorities and people who rule over us. I think there's some interesting things to think about here. James, when he writes, speaks about how he says submit to God, tells us that we should submit to him. Paul, writings in Ephesians 5, says that we should submit to Christ. Peter, writing here, and in Romans and in Hebrews, it speaks about submitting to authorities. Wives are told to submit to husbands in Colossians 3, in Ephesians 5. But there in Ephesians 5, it also says, submit to one another out of reference to Christ. And there's no authority there, is there? Do you see what I mean? We often think about submission in relating to someone who's in charge over us. But if we are to submit to one another, there's no authority there. Do you see what I mean? But we are to be those who submit to each other out of reverence for Christ. Are we like that? Are we submissive in our natures, in our character, in response to God? We submit because authorities are appointed by God. And then lesson number four. Submission is an expression of godly character. Submission is an expression of godly character. In verse 16 of chapter 2, Peter writes, live as free men, We are those, if we trust in Christ, who have been made free by Christ. And freedom, and it's important that we understand this, is not the right to do what we want. But freedom is it's not the right to do what we want. It's the power God's work in us to do what we ought. I've been listening my way through Francis Schaeffer, How Should We Then Live? And one of the interesting things that came out in that is that let me see if I can get this right, the Reformation brought freedom. I can't remember the last bit, it's gone. Yes, that's it. The Reformation brought freedom without chaos. Okay, the Reformation brought freedom for people, so people became creative and had that freedom, but that freedom didn't mean chaos and people doing what they wanted. Why? Because within the Reformation, they lived within the bounds of God's law. So the freedom is within the bounds of God's law. And that freedom isn't the right to do what I want and bring chaos, but it's that freedom and that power of God at work within to live as we ought. Do you see the point? And we are to live as those who are free, made free by Christ. And don't use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. The fact that we are free, that we are God's people, that we belong to Christ, that's not a cover-up to do what we want and disregard authorities that have been put over us and to do what we want. Our submission is expression of a godly character. And again, verse 17, Peter writes this. He says, show proper respect to everyone. He doesn't say, if someone deserves respect, give it to them. He says, show proper respect for everyone. Verse 18, slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, to the good and to the bad. Now that's not always easy, is it? But true godliness is submissive and expresses that. And speaks to the wives there in chapter 3, speaks of that purity and reverence and a gentle and quiet spirit. That expression of submission. And then to the husbands in verse 7, treat them with respect, treat them as heirs. That's an expression of a godly character. And there's that interesting verse at the end, which I'm not sure I fully understand what it means, but verse 7, husbands, in the same way be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. It's a stark warning, isn't it? That if we as husbands are not submissive and treating with respect and treating them as heirs, there's a harsh warning there that somehow that might affect our prayers. The emphasis here is on an active and patient submission and a loyal and disciplined devotion. Submission, an expression of godly character. And then lesson number 5. God achieves his purposes through our submission. Have a look at what it says in chapter 2 and verse 12, which you didn't read. But he says this, live such good lives amongst the pagans, and going on to talk about this submissive life, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. And again, that's an interesting verse that we could look into, isn't it? But it seems that God is using that godly character and that submission to achieve his purposes. Glorifying God. And then you've got the same again in chapter 2 and verse 15. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. And it seems that somehow doing good, being a good citizen, Being submissive in society silenced the talk of ignorant and foolish men. There's those who oppose the truth, aren't there? And there's those who want to silence Christians. But it seems to be saying here that as we live godly lives, submitting to those around us in a right way, submitting to God and showing true Christian submission, that somehow it silences the ignorant talk of foolish men. The godly lives of law-abiding citizens somehow seems to silence them. And we don't always see that, we don't always understand that, but we trust God's word. Godly lives influence society. Godly lives make a difference in the home, in the workplace, on campus, and in society. And submission is a mark of a godly life. But then finally, if it all just seems too difficult, because there's many challenges here for us, aren't there, and we can struggle to do this. Finally, Christ is both our example and our source of strength. Look at what it says in verse 21, speaking of Christ. Verse 20, to this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow his steps. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. Peter says there that Christ is an example for us in our suffering. He was without sin. He was without retaliation. He was without threats. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. And that's what we do, isn't it? When in our place of work, the boss seems harsh and inconsiderate, we entrust ourselves to him who judges justly. We submit and we trust him. So he is our example, but he's not only our example. Because he goes on, verse 24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. You were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and observer of your souls. Christ isn't just our example, he is our example, but he has the one who has the power to change us, because he himself bore our sins on his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. And through Christ we can die to that sin of struggling to submit through his power at work in us. And he makes us righteous and he changes us through his work in us. Christ, both our example and our strength. So there we have six lessons on submission. It's not easy. It's not always nice. But yet it's that example of godly character. And we trust that God will achieve his purposes through our submission. And we look to Christ for our example and our help and our strength as we live lives of submission, seeking to do good and serve God as we live in this generation that God has put each one of us. Amen.